Every season of my nanny career kicked off with a round of interviews so surreally similar that I'd often wonder if the mothers were slipped a secret manual at the Parents League to guide them through. This initial encounter became as repetitive as religious ritual, tempting me in the moment before the front door swung open, either to kneel and genuflect or say, "Hit it!" No other event epitomized the job as perfectly, and it always began and ended in an elevator nicer than most New Yorkers' apartments. The walnut-paneled car slowly pulls me up, like a bucket in a well, toward potential solvency. As I near the appointed floor, I take a deep breath. The door slides open onto a small vestibule, which is the portal to, at most, two apartments. I press the doorbell. Nanny fact. She always waits for me to ring the doorbell, even though she was buzzed by maximum security downstairs to warn of my imminent arrival and is probably standing on the other side of the door. May, in fact, have been standing there since we spoke on the telephone 3 days ago. The dark vestibule, wallpapered in some gloomy Colfax and Fowler floral, always contains a brass umbrella stand, a horse print, and a mirror, wherein I do one last swift check of my appearance. I seem to have grown stains on my skirt during the train ride from school, but otherwise I'm pulled together. Twin set, floral skirt, and some Gucci knockoff sandals I bought in the village. She is always tiny. Her hair is always straight and thin. She always seems to be inhaling and never exhaling. She is always wearing expensive khaki pants, Chanel ballet flats, a French striped t-shirt, and a white cardigan, possibly some discreet pearls. In 7 years and umpteen interviews, the I'm mom casual in my khakis but intimidating in my $400 shoes outfit never changes. And it is simply impossible to imagine her doing anything so undignified as what was required to get her pregnant in the first place.